And welcome to the Power Hour.
Yeah. That's a better start. That's a hot start right there.
Co-host Fred Savage.
Yeah.
He was the Wonder Years, right?
Yes.
Okay. It was his brother on Boy Meets World?
Yes, that was his little brother.
Wow. What a dynasty.
What a talented family.
Fred Savage was on an episode of Seinfeld, so people forget that.
I forgot it already.
As a kid, I think Jerry was dating one of his friends or something.
I mean, Jerry does do that. It do be what, like that, though.
What's the deal with prom tuxes?
They never fit properly.
That's like my new favorite joke that we just all discovered. Jerry Seinfeld dated a high schooler like 30 years later. It's like married to her still, right? Like,
yeah, we're trying to like retroactively cancel him.
Yeah, but it's like it was just love, man.
Look, I always love that thing people do. It's like, well, it was just a different time, dude. Like, you just don't get. It's like that wasn't that long ago.
It was 30 years ago. Did you see the guy making the argument about the autistic Swedish girl, Greta?
Greta, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Greta some bitch.
Greta Van Susteren.
Susteren. Some guy said if she can talk about climate change, there's no reason that...
that she can't give consent.
Yes. Which is the greatest...
That's a galaxy brain. That man has some amazing galaxy brain, and no one can stop him.
Speaking of pedos...
It's not, what is it, the thing they always call it? It's ebophilia. It's not pedophilia, it's ebophilia.
No, it's, you're fucking creep. You're a creepophilia.
you're a fucking folks. Sex pest. I'd stay away from my dog, you'll probably try to fuck that too.
Dan, I am a little low energy today. I'm recording this on my day off. The day in which I've played nothing but Mario Kart on my phone.
It's good.
It's a good game. Have you played it? The new one.
Oh, I have not. I did not know.
Yeah.
Is it any good?
I mean, I probably will never play it again, but you'll get addicted for like an hour or two.
So like most phone games.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you play it for a bit and then you move on.
Yeah. But it was fun. And apparently like every week they add more courses or something. Or every 2 weeks. So.
Oh, this live service bullshit.
Yeah. And then I spent the rest of the day enjoying DC Unlimited, or whatever the fuck it's called.
Oh, you checking out some comic bookery.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first season of Titans. And then I watched some nice DC anime. Actually, I watched the Hush movie.
That is supposed to be okay.
It was good, because you know what, they like redid it. The story was different.
Yeah, so they fixed all the things about it that suck in the comic?
Yeah, not to spoiler, but, like, the person who hushes at the end is different. They do, like,
whoa!
The Batman.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's... Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they do, like, Batman and Catwoman are, like, dating, like, openly. And, like, fighting together.
That's about time.
So that was, like, a good thing. And they do have, like, a funny guest appearance from my boy Damian Wayne. Who tells his father to use protection.
I mean, that's just good, you know, good advice.
Damien's
probably had more sex than Batman.
I'm a big DC Damian Wayne, DC animated Damian Wayne guy. Like, he's very annoying.
He's just a real shithead.
Yeah, I love him. Like, I love that character, man. Father!
Anybody who says father is usually a fucking asshole.
Yeah, by law.
Because there's no reason not to just say dad. I mean, anyone normal would just say dad.
Yeah.
Father. But when you start throwing out fathers, that means, you know...
You're going to hell.
You're a fuckhead.
Also, I've been enjoying, before we get into sports, the Righteous Gemstones.
Man, that's good stuff. That's... Right.
That's a really fucking good show, man. I don't feel like enough people are talking about it.
I mean, there are people in like our world of like the places that we hang out.
But yeah.
I don't feel like it's cracked into like the bigger zeitgeist.
Yeah. So I'm just like, oh, I hope HBO doesn't like pull the rug from under it or something.
I mean, he's kind of a made guy though, right?
McBride? Yeah. I think he's got a, but Vice Principals was only 2 seasons. So, but if this wins awards, I don't think HBO is going to get, I think this will win some awards.
Plus they seem kind of desperate just to have some new hits under this current regime, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this should be a hit. This is the, and like, you know what I like the most about it? They're not insulting to Christianity or anything. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Because like the pastor from like the church that they're trying to beat, like they're coming in and taking over his market. Yeah. That guy's just like, you guys suck. Like,
yeah.
And he's kind of, you know, like an actually religious guy in comparison. Although he did shoot.
And he sent a gang of men in to destroy their church.
That is true.
Yeah, but, like, I like that, though, because, like, I can, like, because I have, like, Christian friends and stuff, and I can, like, say, hey, this is a really funny show, and I don't think you're going to feel insulted by it, you know, if that's your religion. I think that's...
I mean, if you go to Jimmy Swaggart's church you will, like, absolutely be insulted.
Yeah, if you're Jerry Falwell, like, you're not going to like that. But a great show, like,
the reason why Jerry Falwell Jr. doesn't like it is there's just not enough Cuban boy penis for his tastes.
Is that what he's into?
He's really into watching like 20-year-old Latino men just fucking rail his wife.
Mm.
Just go buck fucking wild, on his wife.
So he's not as cool as say Danny McBride or Eli. But yeah, I thought obviously everybody focused on the misbehaving from the flashback episode, but like, the ending of the flashback episode was great, you know, with, like, both the two men missing the woman they both, like, love very much. So that was really good. Just well done. Good job, Danny McBride and that lady who writes with them. Ellie?
I don't know. Oh.
I don't know.
Ellie? Is it the one from the...
Vice Principal.
From The Office?
No. It's the lady from Vice Principals.
I never saw that show.
Well, she's the plays the sister.
Oh, okay.
The Righteous Gemstones.
Okay.
Which, did you see last week's episode?
I haven't.
I'm going to give you one line from it, which was, I've been using this a lot. Well, I'm going to shave my pussy and move to Malibu. And I've been saying it to people, no one gets it. If you only knew how funny that is.
If you had any idea how wonderful this should make you feel.
Yeah. But Dan, you know what else is wonderful? Comebacks!
Hot damn!
Let's lead off. Did you watch any of this UCLA comeback? Because I did.
Hot? Yeah, it was something else, wasn't it?
I mean,
that's kind of the only game I did see live. I watched a bunch of games Sunday when I got home, but I went to the, as everyone on this podcast knows, I went to the ballet.
Ooh.
That's
right, you were in my home territory.
I was.
Can we get a review of Atlanta, or wherever you were?
Okay, well, considering I spent 6 hours on the road getting there, mm-hmm. then immediately went to the Cobb County Theater thing.
Energy Center, I believe?
Yeah, that's it. And then immediately went there to see a play, a ballet.
Mm-hmm.
Then went to a hotel to eat. Then went back to see the play again, but with different with dancers playing in a different part.
Mm.
So I did not get to sample the wares.
How was the hotel?
It was kind of shitty.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anytime you, unless it's like a super fucking nice hotel.
I mean, I wasn't staying at this hotel. I met people over there who were staying at this hotel, and we ate there. And it was a really nice hotel.
Mm.
You know, it seems like the kind of place that Ric Flair would have shouted out on, like, a random 1980s
TV show. I don't think Ric Flair would have been in Marietta.
I mean, if Marietta, as it exists now, was around then, yeah, he would have.
Oh, 100%. People love that the thing outside the Braves Stadium, the Battery.
we were close to the Braves Stadium.
Yeah. I think I might know what hotel, I wonder.
I think it was... Does Radisson sound right?
I don't think that's the one my dad usually stays at. But,
Again, I stayed at an Airbnb, but I met people over there who were staying there.
I'm trying to look up... There's a place you should have gone. I should have recommended it before. What is the name... This will be the rest of the show. It's me.
Just figuring out how I could have had a better weekend.
Gosh, I can't remember the name of the place. But it's like a real... It's like kind of near the... like the old Mulgi, I think. Yeah. Really nice food. Like, if you had lunch there, you drop like $50 easy. But, the servers come out and clean the white cloth with like little scraper things after each course.
Do love that.
It's fucking good. And they have rocking chairs where you can sit outside on like a nice, it's like a garden almost.
Well, I'll probably be back there to see the Nutcracker come December.
I'm trying to remember that name. Lots, I mean, it's like what you're saying, you could have gone to Wahlburgers.
Yeah. I think I would have rather gone anywhere else.
I've never had a Wahlburgers. Have you?
No, I've never lived any place where they would be associated.
Wahlburgers, the only burger of people that could have stopped 9/11.
Yeah, if I'd have just been there, like if I would have been on that plane, it would have never happened. That, friends, is my Mark Wahlberg impression.
Canoe. That's where you need. If you're listening, go there. Go to Canoe if you're ever in Marietta.
I wasn't in Marietta, though, was I? I was in Cobb County.
That's where Marietta is.
Do the Braves play in Marietta?
Well, East Cobb. I don't think it's technically Marietta. But, it's in the same county.
I don't trust Mariettans.
I wouldn't either.
I always feel like they're up to no good.
Yeah. But anyway, you caught a bit of this. I caught it after halftime. I put some money on it, and things went very nice for me. But what did you think? Like, what – is this just why the Pac-12 is awesome? Like, I can't understand how these defenses were that bad.
Well, I mean, the only defense Mike Leach has ever had that wasn't bad, his defensive coordinator immediately got hired to Ohio State. So, I mean
–
This is kind of normal for him. And he also is, like, aggressively against the idea of, like, you have a lead, maybe we should protect it. No, keep throwing. Keep throwing. So, I mean, he is more susceptible to this sort of thing happening than other coaches might be. But, I mean, it is the close... I mean, I struggle with saying, is this a proof of concept for UCLA? Like, is this proof that whatever Chip Kelly's doing is going to work? And I kind of still don't want to say yeah. Because to me, this still seems like, are we sure this is all going to work? Are we sure that they're on the right track? Are we sure this is making sense and flowing? Because it kind of seems to me like he just played a terrible team with an awful defense. Or he played a team with an awful defense.
No, and they got a ton of lucky breaks, like that fumble at the end.
Yeah.
A couple of picks and stuff like that. Oh, that was it. The punt return for a touchdown.
It's like they had a horseshoe up their ass.
Yeah. A lot of things went their way. And you hate to see, was it Gardner Minshew, be disappointed.
Or do you? Because that guy seems like he needs to be taken down a fucking peg.
No, that guy rules.
Maybe. I'm thinking we might find some posts.
Well, he did have a post with his sister. He says, "How hot is my sister?" But
that's some serious Pornhub shit right there. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
That's some Ted Cruz shit. What else happened on Saturday?
Wait, Ted Cruz fucks his sister?
No, you remember the Ted Cruz like?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Cruz not understanding how Twitter works.
One of the better days in or nights in American history. Some other games. Michigan gets destroyed by Wisconsin. Wisconsin looks pretty good, but Michigan might just suck.
Yeah, I think the more alarming thing about this game is that Michigan's defense got humiliated. Now, part of the issue is Michigan really, really, really fucked up their recruiting 2 years ago. And it was a year where they, you know, if you look at Michigan's year-by-year recruiting rankings, it's like 3, 5, 23, 8, 7. So that 23 really sticks out like a sore thumb. Yeah. Well, they're starting to feel the burn of that because they don't have any defensive tackles. Yeah. I mean, they had like two other defensive tackles who are both injured, and so they've been playing a converted fullback at defensive tackle.
Well, they're having to play that, though. Like, their defense just got ran all over. Like, Wisconsin left them back.
Like, if you watch them, if you watch what happened, it was more like Michigan knew their defensive tackles were just going to be roughed up and destroyed, and so they tried all of this like really hyper aggressive run blitzes to try to overcome the fact they didn't have a defensive tackle. And Wisconsin just sort of downloaded that stuff and was ready for it and just slanted guys the other way on all the blocking schemes. And it's just, I come away from that game going, look, Michigan's offense under Josh Gattis is not functional. Now, there's a couple reasons why it could be. Maybe Josh Gattis just sold everybody a bill of goods and he's not the offensive. I mean, the guy's a lifelong wide receivers coach who claimed that he could bring the Joe Moorhead offense to Michigan and that he had already brought it to Alabama. Meanwhile, his former boss, who went to Maryland, was like, excuse me? You did what? So that was like the first sign that Josh Gattis might be just some guy blowing hot air. But the second possible culprit is that Shea Patterson just might be what almost every Ole Miss fan I'm aware of thought he was, and that's he's just a shitty quarterback who can't play.
Yeah.
And there's no offense you're going to put him in where he's not going to find a way to fuck it up because he just can't read. That's a possibility. The other possibility is that Michigan, you know, and this is sort of a thing that Michigan's, you know, the venerable Brian over at MGo Blog, you know, seems to be thinking is that once again Michigan has hopped on a trend after the whole world has figured it out and downloaded it. You know, if you look at the history of Michigan, it's like okay, they went with they basically in the mid 2000s they were running like the 1990s Denver Broncos offense, like the Terrell Davis offense.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, that destroyed the NFL in 1997. You're running it in 2005. You know, like, teams have kind of figured this out a little bit. And then after that, they go with Rich Rodriguez, you know, and they're running the zone read after everybody else has kind of figured out how to defend that. And it's now you got to, you know, be going an extra level. They're not doing it. Then they, you know, then they go with Brady Hoke and they're like, okay, we're going to try to do what Stanford does, but we don't know how Stanford does it, so it's not going to work that well. And that, then they hire Harbaugh to do it right, but now, you know, even Michigan, you know, you look at, okay, we want to be like Stanford. Well, Stanford fucking sucks. So what does that mean?
Yeah. So you know what here's how I feel about talking about Michigan now. Why are we talking about Michigan? Like they're about irrelevant.
Oof.
At this point, they are. I mean, they're not going to win anything.
Well, I mean, it seems like a lot of the discussion is now shifting to what is Harbaugh going to leave?
Yeah. And will Urban Meyer go there? No, but which brings us to Ohio State. Ohio State kills another bad team. But they might just be a really good team, right? Because great teams score a lot of points.
Great teams cover and great teams beat shit teams.
Yeah. And they beat the shit out of Miami of Ohio by 71 points, I believe.
Look, it was bad. It was very painful. it hurt to watch. Like, you watched it and you just felt bad for everybody involved.
Yeah, I watched, like, highlights from this game, and I watched a lot of Notre Dame, Georgia. And you think Georgia's probably thinking, like, man, maybe we should have just played Justin Fields. Like, I know Fromm's, like, competent, but I guess, like, Justin Fields looks like a fucking superstar. Like, the guy
He wouldn't have been that in that offense.
Yeah, that's true.
Which that brings back, well, why are you running the fucking offense?
Change
the offense.
Yeah.
But, Justin Fields is looking amazing. Ryan Day looks like a I just keep thinking back to a conversation Bomani Jones and Spencer Hall had at the beginning of the season before the first games were played. And they were talking about, like, when you're a big program and you got to hire a coach, the guy that you want to hire is the really, really young guy who already kind of understands your program. Like, you always want to hire Barry Switzer.
Yeah.
You don't want to hire, like Bob Stoops. Like, Oklahoma has always gotten this right. They hired Barry Switzer when he was 34 years old. You know, he was running the wishbone there as their offensive coordinator, and they promoted him. They hired Bob Stoops as, like, he was the number one defensive coordinator in college football after he, came to Florida and fixed their defense and won them a national championship along with Spurrier. Like, that's what you do. You hire the super young guy who seems to be on the cutting edge of something. You don't go hire the guy who won in other places, because by the time you hire him, he probably fucking sucks now.
Yeah.
He's probably washed up. So unless you're hiring Urban Meyer or Nick Saban, it probably won't work.
Yeah. Let's transition and talk about this. Georgia Notre Dame. Is Notre Dame good or is Georgia bad, or maybe a bit of both?
I came away from this game just sort of thinking, like, Georgia's gonna get beat again. You know, Georgia's gonna lose again when it counts. Mm. I just think their offense is too conservative. I mean, it is what it is. I just don't think they're willing to open it up enough to put away,
I think some of it is like they're playing a lot of young receivers, and Fromm's not that good of a quarterback. Sorry. Like, he's, he's good. He's a game manager. He's David Green. Is David Green all that good?
They kind of ran off a world changer. And I guess it's like, well, we were right about him and Eason. And it's like, well, yeah, you were. Like, that was a good call.
By all reports, Eason had a pretty serious, like, substance abuse problem in Apple.
Well, and he still plays like he has a substance abuse problem now.
So a lot of that Eason thing is probably an easy decision to make. It's like, this guy's partying all the time.
Let's go with somebody else.
Yeah, in one of the, despite not being on the listing anymore, Athens is still kind of a party place. Kids are still doing drugs in college. It's wild.
Wait a minute. You take that back.
Let's move to this. Pittsburgh beats UCF. We are done with UCF forever now, right?
I mean, UCF is sort of, I mean, I know a lot of this is like branding strategy and whatever, but they've kind of painted themselves into this corner where a lot of college football is super excited when they don't go undefeated. Like, you got people who have really no reason to be celebrating or to care one way or the other, who are just like, yeah, fuck those guys. Yeah.
Well, this is great. Once again,
they blew it. They're not going undefeated.
Yeah. And once again, Pitt comes in to save the day. So thanks, Pitt.
The Pitt, what is it? The Pitt Death Star, the Pitt Power
Cannon? The Super Weapon? Did you see it?
Yeah, the Pitt Super Weapon charged
up. Dave Wanstead?
Dave Wanstead explaining the perfect sandwich and having no idea that he had been cameoed by a guy who's in college football media. Like, he just was like, let me tell you about the perfect sandwich.
No, it was beautiful.
Dave Wanstead is too wonderful to be real. Like, I don't know what we ever did to deserve Dave Wanstead.
Let's see, going down the list here, Colorado. Are they good?
Shorts. Yeah. They're good because the guy, because their coach wears comfortable clothing on the sideline.
Yeah. And then, how about this? Is Auburn good?
Still not sure. They got a good defense. Their defense is absolutely good enough to do a lot.
That defense is, like, just watching some of that game on Saturday, and, like, especially Derrick Brown is just a monster. Like, just, like, him getting blocked and just, like, taking a big old paw and taking down the running back. It was beautiful. He's a nice big old fat boy to watch, man. But A&M might just not be good. Which, duh.
I mean, they're 7 and they're, I mean, you look at the history of A&M, and it's funny, one of the guys who trashed Harbaugh on ESPN, and Harbaugh has absolutely earned a lot of shit for the way things are going.
Yeah.
But one of the guys who was shitting on him was Dan Orlovsky, and he started name-checking a bunch of coaches who he felt were more elite than Jim Harbaugh, and he mentioned Jimbo Fisher, and it's like, bruh, have you seen any team Jimbo's coached in 4 years?
Yeah.
Because that guy has become Mr. 7-5. Jimbo Fisher is slowly turning into his long lost twin brother Jeff Fisher, where he just rolls off like the bare minimum record you can have without somebody immediately wanting to fire.
Yeah. But it feels like if the Auburn team can continue to grow, it's gonna be kind of nasty. I mean, Bo Nix, okay, only threw like 106 yards, but he looked pretty good for an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Still, that Schwartz guy, that run was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, that's some stuff.
I'm a big fan of Schwartz.
Yeah. Oregon beat Stanford. So Oregon's probably could win the Pac-12, right? Like, they lost to Auburn.
They should! They should! I mean, they are the runaway favorite. Yeah. There's no team in the Pac-12 should be within 20 points of them. But do you really think that they won't blow it? Like, honestly, can you put your hand on your heart today and tell me that you don't think Oregon will find a way to fuck it up and not win it?
Yeah. It would have been like Arizona State Pac-12 champions. Who else? Oh, how about LSU? Has an offense but doesn't have a defense.
Their defense is okay. Their defense has been really good.
Vandy put up 38.
They're just playing at a faster pace.
But yeah, LSU looks like a team. Like, I feel like the shine's off Bama now. I don't know.
That every year, and I feel like a big part of why we're saying it this year is because they didn't have that impressive week one. You know, they didn't get that impressive week one slaughter of an out of conference team because the gods lined up and gave them Duke this year, and nobody cares about beating Duke.
Yeah,
but you know, when you put aside that, I mean, are we seriously going to sit here and not think that at the end of this, they're still not going to be, you know, they're not going to be Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the West is like two. I think Bama, LSU tier one, Auburn tier two. Then no one else in that division matters. Because Arkansas sure as hell don't.
Jesus. Arkansas is seeing, people have forgotten what it was like when you used to hire a spread quarterback or spread coach. Because this is basically what it was like until like 2010. Because whenever you'd hire a spread coach, you'd have to come in because everybody ran the offense like Bielema ran there, where it was like big muscle, big fat lineman, slow pace, you know, really tall, slow receivers who are good at catching balls in traffic. And then you have to completely change the roster to get your stuff in. That used to be what every spread coach had to go through. And then now, you know, so many teams run a spread or a half-ass spread or a hybrid spread, or they run spread concepts, that it's been a while since we've seen a spread coach take over at like a real thick body man ball team. And you know, that's what Chad Morse is having to go through. I don't think anybody at Arkansas, when they hired Bielema, really thought about the risk involved if that didn't play out.
Yeah.
I think they all thought, well, yeah, he's been successful and he's quote-unquote pro-style or whatever, whatever that means in 2019.
Yeah.
Because every time I look up, an NFL team is wanting to hire an air raid coach. So I don't know what the fuck pro-style even means anymore. But I don't think anybody in Arkansas realized that if you went whole hog on Brett Bielema installing, like, the fucking Wisconsin offense, that that would mean, all right, it better work, because otherwise it's like you're going through the Paul Johnson, you know. Otherwise it's like you're Georgia Tech this year and you're having to completely change your offense.
Which Arkansas is.
I mean, when you look at Arkansas, you know, nobody thinks about those pro-style teams as being weird or any different to recruit to. But that is as big, transitioning from that is every bit as big as what Georgia Tech's having to do.
Anything else from last week? I think that's kind of it. Like, it was a big week, but not a ton of big things happened. It's like four big things.
Let me see. Oh, Nebraska is letting everybody down, right?
Like, yeah.
People thought they could already be competing, and that is that they are at least a year away.
Was it Ohio State this week? That ain't gonna be pretty.
They play Ohio State this week. They play Illinois.
Ohio State's good. They're good. Ohio State's still.
You know what?
One dumb game.
Ohio State is a lot better than Illinois.
Maybe.
Funny enough.
What I want to look ahead to next week now.
I do want to say one thing else.
Uh-huh.
Man, it fucking sucks to be a Tennessee fan. Like, we passed a point some time ago where, I don't know about you, where you grew up, because I know you're a big Georgia hater.
Uh-huh.
But where I grew up, you know, especially in Western North Carolina, and then going on vacation into the mountains a lot, like East Tennessee mountains. I fucking hated Tennessee fans as a kid. They were the most shitty. Like, if you went up there and wore a hat of, like, anybody other than Tennessee, they would fucking spit on you. They would act like the biggest fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Even I feel bad for Tennessee fans at this point. Like, this is fucking sad. The state of their program where... This isn't even a great Florida team. Like, we're looking at, like, a nine... Florida may end up winning 10 or 11 games because the SEC sucks, and there's only really, you know... They only really have to play LSU and Georgia. And well, no, they got to play Auburn this year. Yeah, actually going
to... No, Tennessee does it.
Well, Florida does. Florida's got to play Auburn.
Oh, Florida, okay, yeah.
So, like, they probably... This is a hard year for them because they actually have to play some... You know, they have to play Auburn, but...
Yeah.
You know, Florida is like an 8 or 9 win team that may end up winning 9 or 10 games because of their schedule. And they just annihilated Tennessee. Tennessee didn't look like they belonged in the same division of football as them. Like, never mind the same conference. Never mind, like, oh, this used to be a rivalry game. Like, this was one team that is... that is trying to play college football at a high level and is maybe a step or two away from being, you know, where they want to be versus a team that's not even on the field with where they think they should be. And it's just sad. Like, you can't watch Tennessee and not feel like just this profound sense of sorrow for how fucked up that's gotten.
Yeah. It ain't pretty, Paul.
And you also look at it, and, like, Michigan fans definitely felt this week, too, where it's like, okay, we hit, like, the best – we made the best coaching hire that Michigan could theoretically make, and we still are not good enough. But, like, two teams that haven't been – that used to be nationally elite and haven't been nationally elite in such a long period of time that you start to go – are we ever going to be back there? Or if we let it slide for so many years that we're now based, like, is Tennessee just uppity Kentucky?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, is Michigan just uppity Michigan State and they don't realize it? I mean, it's bad. It's bad. It's very bad.
Yeah. It ain't great. Next week, not the prettiest week, but that could mean chaos. Because we've got, where do I want to start? How about Penn State at Maryland? Maryland plus 6.5.
See, Maryland's been this year's chaos team.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to fuck with Maryland. Because they might score 70, or they might score 5. Yeah. Like, and you're just left going,
I think I like Maryland. You know, I don't trust Penn State this year.
Well, you know what the rumor is, right?
What?
That Franklin's already, like, buying up property in Los Angeles. And getting ready to move to USC.
Yeah.
He's already got, like, one eye out the door.
There you go. How about that? Speaking of USC, I think this is a Friday game.
Makes sense.
I think USC at Washington. Washington favored by 10.5.
That's a big spread. I mean, that seems like a large spread for the fact that USC's been kind of decent so far this year. Like, they haven't been, you know, they haven't, I wouldn't say they've been crap or anything. And it's not like, you know, it's not like Washington's just been blowing doors off people.
Yeah.
Oof, no respect. No respect for USC.
Was it a Friday game?
I'm pretty sure it's a Saturday game, by the way.
The Pac-12 likes to do some fun games on Friday, though.
They do, but I'm pretty sure that's not one of them.
Friday morning at 9 a.m. No.
Watch it on your commute. Game. Watch it on your commute in your self-driving car.
Okay, actually, Penn State Maryland's a Friday game.
Well, that I did know.
That's wild. And then Arizona State Cal is your pack.
I didn't know the Big Ten was doing Friday night games. They've never, they never used to do Thursday night games back when Thursday night existed.
Yeah, the SEC I don't think has ever done a Thursday night game or Friday.
Mm. And that's a controversial thing to do, because you piss off all the high school coaches.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, the high school coaches get all pissed off that the schools are playing on Friday and messing up, you know.
Yeah.
Now they won't have any asses.
No one's watching us.
Nobody's going to see me win my 47th straight Division I single A private school championship.
Was there all at the damn Georgia State game? How about Texas A&M versus Arkansas? Arkansas plus 23.5.
Yeah, there's not enough point. I mean, I'd probably stay away from this because that spread's too big, and Texas A&M fucking sucks. But, I mean, they don't suck in the sense that I think they're a bad team. They suck in the sense that they will always let you down. So Arkansas will probably, you know, they'll probably lose by 15 this week.
Yeah.
Just because you can always count on Jimbo Fisher to disappoint you. But there's no amount of points you can give me where I will happily take Arkansas. Like, they're at that point with me. Where
how about this other big spread?
If I don't want to take their opponent, I'm just going to stay away.
How about Oklahoma, favored by 27, hosting Texas Tech?
Yeah, I'm taking Oklahoma there.
How about over under 70.5?
Yeah, I'd take that over.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Texas A&M's also kind of moved in more of a direction of being more defensive oriented, and I still don't think I still am taking that over.
How about this? Virginia at Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored by 12.5.
Yeah, that seemed a little big, but then you kind of think about it and you go, you know, Notre Dame's biggest weakness is, you know, is run defense because their linebackers suck ass. But
yeah.
I mean, when has Virginia ever run the ball that well? So, yeah. You know, that might be one where you know, everybody's sort of doubting Notre Dame, and then you make a little bit of money taking those Irishmen.
How about Clemson at North Carolina? North Carolina gets 27.
We'll take Clemson. Here's why. When you look at defense, one, you know, the bloom is off the rose a little bit with North Carolina, where people have kind of figured out that, you know, one, they're kind of regressing back to the mean of what they should be. And, you know, they had an exciting first 2 weeks, and then, you know, reality's kind of starting to set in a little bit. And, you know, they are more of what they are. But the other reason why you should take Clemson here is because North Carolina's entire defensive philosophy is basically set up to where the whole way they built their defense is, all right, anybody but Clemson, we got a shot against. And this week they're playing Clemson. So yeah. Their whole philosophy is basically they drop, you know, they only rush four or five guys tops, but you never know which five are the five. You know, they might drop their whole defensive line and rush cornerbacks. You know, they might, you know, they might drop, you know, all of their defensive linemen and just rush their linebackers. You never know who's coming. You just know somebody's coming. And you don't, you know, and you know it's not going to be, there's going to be a bunch of guys back in coverage. And when you watch their linebackers, if their linebackers aren't blitzing, they immediately just sprint out to the flats. So their philosophy is basically take away the, take away the short stuff, take away the flats, and put pressure on the quarterback to try to beat the blitz. Well, that's all well and good until you're playing Clemson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that works against 90% of teams, but when you try to do that against Clemson and their wide receivers are that good and can just beat you one-on-one and their offensive line is good enough to give their quarterback time, they just that's just a recipe for, you know, when as much zero coverage downfield they play, you're just going to give up big play after big play after play, big play. And I don't think Clemson's going to be able to name their score, basically.
How about next up? Your CBS game of the week. Ole Miss at Alabama.
Why did CBS pick that?
There's no other SEC games. They could do Auburn again because they did Auburn last week. You'll probably do Auburn next week for Auburn, Florida, I think.
Yeah, because that game, that's a former rivalry. That
yeah, you know, you're not so doing A&M Arkansas. Did A&M last week, and then Georgia's off. I think you.
What's LSU doing?
I think LSU's off this week.
Man, that's bad luck for
CBS.
That's
why this week kind of sucks. Yeah.
Well, it definitely sucks for CBS. I'm not sold on it's going to be a shitty week for everybody.
No,
that sucks for CBS.
CBS will be fine because they just had one of the highest rated football games of the year with Georgia and Notre Dame.
Well, that's the price you got to pay. You know, you get yep. you 1 week you're on top, and then this week, this game will have like a zero rating everywhere but Birmingham. I mean, yeah, obviously Alabama's going to beat the piss out of them. You don't need me to tell you that.
SEC, Mississippi State at Auburn. Auburn favored by 10.5.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Moorhead was one of those hires last year where every person who's like a smarter writer was like, hell of a hire by Mississippi State. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe that, you know, maybe it wasn't as good a hire as we all thought it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, because I think they're going to get boat raced.
Let's see. Gosh. Not the best week. I don't have a spread on it, but how about UCF UConn? For the...
Civil conflict,
baby.
Bring back the civil conflict. Yeah, the reason why there's probably not a spread on that is because Vegas probably won't take any action on it.
Yeah.
UCF is. We're going to see if a team can break 100.
We almost did last week. Several times.
Who? Who came close to 100?
UCLA. And I mean, LSU scored 77.
That's still not. I mean, bro, that's still three touchdowns short.
No, it's two.
No, it's like 20-something, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's 22.
Yeah, it's 23 points.
Oh.
So that's like, that's three touchdowns and a field goal, at least.
It's close.
I mean,
you got 77.
You know, last year UConn, like, literally came close to breaking the record for the worst defense in the history of college football. Bill Connolly's like stats said they were the worst defense he had charted since World War II, when you had all those schools that were basically just playing with like the asthmatic kids who couldn't get taken off to the war. You know, like yeah. basically everyone who didn't have clubfoot and asthma was off fighting the Germans. And so the kids who stayed behind probably weren't the best football players, and that's who they had to make do with.
How How about this one to end it? Game day's at this game, so it must be important. Ohio State at Nebraska. Nebraska plus 17. Give me Ohio State. Tease that up to 20. They're going to kill Nebraska.
Yeah. I mean, Nebraska's just not in this. You know, I'm not giving up on Scott Frost. It's only year two, and God, that team was terrible before he got there. Yeah. So there's no reason to give up or panic or start, you know, start going, oh, is Scott Frost not really the answer? But, it's not going to look good this week. It's going to look bad. It's going to look real, real bad.
That's it for college football. I don't have the spread in front of me for this one, but who you got for Sunday night? Your Cowboys.
They're not my Cowboys anymore. They haven't been my Cowboys since they hired the weird guy. Jason
Garrett.
The guy who beats up people.
Oh, Greg Hardy. He only lasted a little while.
Which makes it all the worse that they brought him in, because he wasn't any good, and he wasn't going to last. It was just like they wanted to send a message that we're pro domestic abuse.
Kellen Moore might be the quarterback whisperer, because Dak Prescott looks damn good. They've also played three of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens. Like, oh man, we got a hot young coordinator, because that's kind of how Jason Garrett got the head coaching job in the first place. Where it was like, oh man, this guy, he's a real humdinger. He's a real brilliant guy, and it's like, man, when you're playing like a bunch of piss ass teams, it makes you look a lot smarter,
a lot better. So this will be a big test. This will be a big test for them, probably. Even though Breeze is out,
You still got to play Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, who can't? It looks like he can't throw over 10 yards.
Look, Teddy's playing it safe.
He looks like December Drew Brees when he's just has no arm strength left.
Man, knee injuries fucking suck. Because speaking of Drew Brees, because, I mean, obviously Drew Brees ended up... oh, God, there's a guy doing weird shit on at the Memphis game.
Uh-oh.
There's a guy doing some severely weird shit on ESPN at the Memphis Navy game.
I'm ready for it. I'm a little behind you.
But
what? How about this? What's up? Damn.
But you know, Drew Brees famously ended up in New Orleans because he was going to go to Miami and play for Nick Saban, and then they picked Dante Culpepper because they thought Culpepper was further along in his injury rehab. And people forget how good Dante Culpepper was.
What the hell is that guy doing?
That guy is so fucking drunk.
Look at that hat.
That guy probably lives in Arkansas.
The guy next to him? I mean, they're all. They're tripping. What's wrong with your Panthers? What have y'all done to my sweet, sweet boy, Cam Newton?
Yeah, he's run the ball in the NFL for a long time. And now he's looking like a 30-year-old running back instead of a 30-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, because our boy Kyle Allen looked great.
Yeah, there were some Norv defenders who were like, well, I mean, I'm not trying to say that Cam Newton sucks or anything, but this is kind of what Norv Turner's offense looks like when you have, you know, a quarterback who throws deep balls with accuracy. It looks a little bit better. So I didn't say that. I didn't shit on your boy. That's just what NFL people said.
I can't believe we already have 41 points in this Eagles-Green Bay game. I did not see this coming. Fucking is that? Maybe my hot streak's over.
Well, those are two good offenses, aren't they? I mean, but usually it's smart to take the under on a Thursday, right?
Yeah. It's usually just smart to take the NFL under. Especially if it's a primetime game, that game's usually going to be shitty. Like, have you seen the Monday Night Football schedule for the rest of the year?
Well, that's intentional. Like, they're just fucking over ESPN.
Well, the big thing was they tried to pick a bunch of, like, historical matchups for the 100-year anniversary or whatever.
The 50th year anniversary of Monday Night Football.
And, that ain't great, because here's...
What, you mean it was a bad idea to put the Jets on primetime television?
Yeah. Twice?
Oh God, they did. I mean, I understand doing it the once for old time's sake.
Well, here we go.
Twice is insane.
Here we go, Dan. This week, Bengals at Steelers.
Why?
Doesn't look great now with Roethlisberger out. Browns at Niners.
It didn't look good before the season when we knew that they weren't going to have Antonio Brown anymore.
Browns Niners.
Oof.
Lions Packers.
Who's the bigger loudmouth, like, oh, we got this franchise where it's like they have like 3 weeks at the end of a season where they look okay and then start deciding that they're the next, next Bill Belichick team.
The Browns suck.
The Browns suck. The 49ers suck.
The Niners are 3-0, homeboy.
Who they played? They ain't played
Arizona,
nobody.
Arizona, Carolina, somebody else.
So a bunch of teams that suck, you're telling
me. Then you got...
Because I'm going to tell you this. The other thing with the Panthers, they're all riding high with their backup quarterback. Let's wait until you do that against a team that ain't the Cardinals.
Yeah. Next up, let's see. Patriots, Jets.
Jesus.
Dolphins, Steelers.
Why are there so many AFC East teams in this? There is exactly one team from the AFC East worth putting on television. One.
Cowboys, Giants. Which could be something.
Why?
Daniel Jones is good now. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, the guy has one good game, and then everybody who said he was a bad pick is wrong, obviously.
Seahawks, Niners. This one's not bad. Kansas City, LA Chargers.
That's literally the first game you've mentioned where I'm like, huh, okay.
How about this next one? Baltimore versus LA.
Okay. That's going to be something.
Minnesota, Seattle.
Okay, you lost me a little bit.
Yeah. Giants, Eagles.
Mm.
Colts, Saints. That feels intriguing, though.
Is it?
Well, I mean, Colts are like 3-2-1. They beat our Falcons, Dan. They must be good.
It's obviously.
And then Green
the
Bay,
Falcons
Minnesota.
Have never disappointed anybody ever.
No.
In the history of their franchise, they have always made all of their fans completely content.
Nothing has ever gone wrong, as far as I can remember. And then you wrap it up with Green Bay, Minnesota.
Jesus.
Is it not? So, what? There's 2 weeks in there that look really fucking awesome.
And then the rest of it just sounds like an enema.
Yeah. Because can we talk about how good Lamar Jackson's been real quick, especially for my fantasy team? But he's good. Who knew? The man
who
should be playing
everybody wide receiver. Every single person who ever watched him in college who was like, man, this guy's playing for a really shitty team. And, like, single-handedly dragging them into being, you know, this
fucking
super dangerous
contender.
And I bet he'll be really good when he plays in the pros. It's like, no, he seems to me that he projects more as a cornerback. Yeah, I really see him more as a free safety type.
Yeah, like he's Woodrow Danzler.
Ooh, Woody Danzler getting a fucking mention.
I had his Falcons jersey.
Woody Danzler ruled in college. People don't remember that Woody did. Because that Clemson team never won anything. Like, they were basically, like, the world's most fun 8-win team. But that Rich Rodriguez offense, you know, with Woody Danzler was fun as shit.
Oh, Memphis. Busting it open. But, yeah, that's... I wonder what the Sunday night schedule is, then, by comparison. This will be the middle in the show.
The Sunday night schedule's flexed, isn't it?
Yeah, they can flex near the end. That's the... But they can't flex at the start. So we've got a Cowboys Saints, of course. Colts Chiefs. Steelers Chargers. Eagles Cowboys. Green Bay Kansas City. Patriots Ravens. Minnesota Dallas. Chicago LA Rams. Eagles, Seahawks, Thanksgiving night, Falcons, Saints, Pats, Texans, Seahawks, Rams, Vikings, Chargers, Kansas City, Chicago.
That's a good one.
That sounds like a game. That sounds like a game you've been waiting all day for Sunday night.
Yeah. That defense versus Patty Mahomes. Oh, man. Is Mahomes elite? We'll find out. Finally, we'll know if Patrick Mahomes is actually a good quarterback. Because apparently he's not.
I mean, but can we ever truly know if anybody is elite?
Yeah. Well, Trump thought Flacco was elite. So. And that's why he's being impeached, I believe. A lot of people think it's this Ukraine thing. No.
Because he thought Joe Flacco was elite.
Yeah. That's it. I think that's the show. Next week, maybe some better football games.
No promises, because the way that Fox and ESPN run the scheduling now is that you get one good week and one shitty week, and that's just the way it is. But, you know, on that note, you know, it's been a pleasure, as always. And play the music, Jason.
All right.